Question to you. It is church family night. How important is family to you? Depending on your background, depending on what situations you've experienced in life, you probably will have different answers to that question. How important is family to you? Now, most people, though, would say family is very important. And how would you define that? Well, it's very simply, if you have a major announcement in your family, like there's a new baby about to be born, who do you notify first? It's usually your family. Maybe you have a very scary announcement to make, like the discovery of cancer. Who do you notify first? It's usually family. But may I ask this question of you tonight? How many of you have had a major announcement, whether it's good or bad, but something that you typically would share with family first of all, yet instead of sharing with family, you shared it with somebody here within our church family? How many of you have ever experienced something of that? Okay, several hands. I know my hand is up there as well. When I talk to people about Calvary Baptist Church, a lot of times people say, well, it's a very large church. And in some areas, yes, we would be considered a very large church. But one of the things that I'm very quick to tell people is if you get to know people at Calvary, you will find it to be a family. It's just a very large family. And that is what I want us to take some time to talk about this evening. Not the family unit as what we have with mom and dad and children, but what we have as a church family. And what we have as a church family truly is something that is important. It is something that was designed and ordained by God, and it's something that I think will be an encouragement, hopefully, to you this evening. If you would open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and what we're going to have a little bit of tonight is something that I would share in teaching a Bible doctrines class. If we were teaching on the topic of ecclesiology, which is the study or the doctrine of the church, we would take some time to look at this passage because it contains a lot of different things here in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, as well as the parenthesis chapter of 13, which we all affectionately know as the love chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find one of the descriptions that is given in the New Testament of the church. Those of you who perhaps have sat in my Bible doctrines class, or maybe you've had some type of Bible doctrines class or studied ecclesiology, can anybody give me the three pictures in the New Testament of the church? They all start with the letter B. Body, there we go. That's one of them, and that's the one that we'll see right here in this passage tonight. Building, there we go. And the third one. The bride, absolutely. And the great way to remember that, if it's ever on a test, is just picture that bodybuilding bride as she walks down the aisle getting ready to meet her bodybuilding husband. But there you have the three pictures, and hopefully the church is a wonderful, beautiful, strong, and healthy church. The body, the building, and the bride of Christ. Those are three pictures in the New Testament of the local church. And it is my desire and prayer that Calvary Baptist Church be a church family that truly represents each of those different aspects of those pictures that are given in the New Testament of what a church should look like. And tonight I'd like us to take a few moments to very simply look here at 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll bounce around a little bit, but we'll kind of use this as our springboard to look at this idea of the body of Christ and to see that there are some characteristics of what a healthy body looks like. There are three characteristics, and what we're going to see as well is, are these things that are characteristics of a healthy body true within our church as a whole? But in order for that to be true within our church as a whole, we also have to ask, are these things true within my life? Because we are the body of Christ. In fact, I would look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 is our theme verse for this evening, which says this: now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Ladies and gentlemen of Calvary Baptist Church, shall I say family members of Calvary Baptist Church, we are the body of Christ here in Midland, Michigan at 6100 Perrin. We are a group of believers who are a family. My question tonight, are we a healthy church family. Three things that I see in this passage that hopefully will be a good test for you to see, are these characteristics true within our church family? And then secondly, are they true in my life so that I can continue to support that within our church family? The context here is spiritual gifts. Paul begins chapter 12 talking about spiritual gifts. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." And he goes on to explain a lot of things about spiritual gifts. The purpose of the message tonight is not a whole message on spiritual gifts, though we will touch on that. We're not going to explain the spiritual gifts. We're not going to have a whole teaching. That's something that would be for another time. But we are looking at that in the context of spiritual gifts. And the first thing that I want us to see as we look here at chapter 12 is that a healthy church family will have unity. There will be unity within a healthy church family. Now, the Greek word for unity very simply means this: agreement. It's agreement. Is there agreement? Now, what is it that we are agreeing upon? And that is where many churches probably begin their struggles. What do we agree upon? Well, when a church begins, what is the process for a church? Maybe some of you have had the privilege or the luxury of being part of a church plant at some point along the way where a new church begins and springs to life. What things are involved in that process? This is a time for you to tell me. What things do you think are involved in that process? Okay, at some point, a statement of faith is drafted. We believe. Okay, good. What other things? Yeah, there's a lot of planning that goes along with that. I was very thrilled to read the Vandalenders' most recent prayer announcement that their church is now preparing to move into a 7-day-a-week facility. That is huge, but you know what? That didn't just happen. There was planning out there in Round Rock, Texas. Good. What else is part of a church plant and a new church coming to life? Prayer. Oh, absolutely. There's got to be a lot of prayer that is involved there. Yeah, you got to have some people. You got to have people that come along and say, we're going to be a part of this church. And so typically that takes somebody who has planned and somebody who has prayed and somebody who has organized a little bit, and they begin getting other people together, and there's Bible studies that are taking place. All of that is how a church begins. And as that church begins to grow and people meet together and they worship God together, they begin to be united and say, you know, as a group, we believe that we are going to be a body of believers, a lighthouse, salt and light here in our community, and we are going to start a church, which then a statement of faith is drawn up. A location for meeting is determined. Perhaps other articles of a constitution are eventually drafted. And people come and they sign their name to those documents and officially say, we are now a church. That's a really exciting thing. I've never had the privilege of being a part of it. I studied a lot for that in school. That was something I thought, you know, God's calling me into inner city church planting. I really thought that that was the direction God was calling me. Instead, he called me back here to Midland, Michigan, which is really cool too. But I love that idea of a new church springing to life and people coming together in unity and in agreement saying, here are the things that we see in God's word, this statement of faith, this constitution that we've drawn up, these doctrines and bylaws. And we agree that we are going to choose to follow these things within our lives. And that agreement is where we begin to see this idea of unity. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see in verse 4 that it says there is a same spirit. Verse 5 says the same Lord. Verse 6 says the same God. Why is it that we can have agreement? It's because of the unity found in our God and our great Savior Jesus Christ. That's where our unity begins. But as we go on, we see in verses 12 and 13 that this word one is used frequently. Look at verses 12 and 13 of chapter 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Do you get the idea, folks, that God wants there to be unity within the body? Because time after time, he uses that word one. It's agreement. There is a oneness of mind and of heart in serving our great God and Savior. Verse 25 of this passage tells us as well that there cannot be division. You see, division would take away from agreement, where it says in verse 25 that there should be no schism. The word literally there is division. There should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. This idea of unity isn't unique just to this passage in 1 Corinthians 12. In fact, back in the Old Testament, Psalm 133, if you wanted to turn back there, you would see in Psalm 133, verse 1, it simply says this, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It says that dwelling in unity is a good and pleasant thing. This is part of God's desire and plan for the church, that there be unity. We find this same word used in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 3, but it gives us a little different take on it. In Ephesians 4, verse 3, it says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." What do you think that word "endeavoring" implies for us? Does unity happen easily? No. It takes work. Endeavoring means that there's effort that's put into it. Unity doesn't happen by accident, and it does not continue by accident. It takes work. How are we doing at working at unification? How are we doing at working at agreement? It goes on in Ephesians 4 as well. Verse 13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." You see, there is a goal in our unity. We are in agreement. It's a process, though. And what is that process that our unity is drawing us all towards? What did it say there in verse 13? Lots of words. I'll read it for you again. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." What is our unity drawing us all together toward? Exactly. Christ's character. It's Christ's likeness. That's what unity is about. You see, as you and I exemplify and demonstrate Christ's likeness in our lives, unity will be a byproduct of that. Unity is part of the local church, is part of what God is doing in the transforming process of us in sanctification toward Christ-likeness. One of the marks or characteristics of a healthy church is that there is unity. Because in that healthy church, you will see people becoming more and more sanctified, more and more drawn toward Jesus Christ, more and more Christ-like in their attitudes, their actions, and their reactions. And so my question to us tonight is Calvary Baptist a unified church family? Do we see unity here? And probably the best way for you to answer that is to answer in your own life. Am I at unity with my church family that is here? Do I have agreement? Am I in the process of becoming more like Christ along with my brothers and sisters in Christ so that we are all approaching that unity of Christ-likeness, because that is a characteristic or a mark of a healthy church? How are you doing in this idea of unification? A second thought, a second characteristic, almost seems to go in the opposite direction of unity. But we see it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it tells us that there will also be, along with unity, great diversity. Now, how is it that you can have unity and diversity both coexisting and both a mark of a healthy church? Well, let's take a moment to understand that. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll see in verse 4 where it says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Verse 5 says that there are differences of administrations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. It is the same Lord. Verse 6 says, "There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all." So we see that there are different gifts that God puts within the body. We see that there are different administrations or ways that people do things. And then there are different operations right? How people will do things. So all of these things are differences, but there's still agreement. There's still unity. Have you ever had perhaps a time in church where you've spoken with somebody and you've said, well, I think we really ought to do this. And they've said, well, no, I disagree. I think we ought to do this. Is that a problem? No, that is the sign of a healthy church. Now, if you start punching each other because of that, that is not the sign of a healthy church because there's no longer unity. But if there is unity, then you will begin to see diversity that is there. A diversity of gifts, the differences of administrations, differences of operations. Well, why is that? Because of the very picture that is used in verses 12 through 14. We read some of those verses earlier as it talks about the body. The body is one, yet it has many members. If we take time and continue on, looking at verses 15 and following, it says that the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, or I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, meaning great unity, then where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? So verse 18 tells us, now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. He put the body together with different pieces. There's diversity. There are many members. There are many gifts. We look earlier in the chapter, verses 8 through 11, and it talks about a number of different spiritual gifts. We go to the end of the chapter in verses 28 through 31, and we find other spiritual gifts that are listed. And looking at those spiritual gifts, Paul says, Corinthians, please understand, not everybody should have the same spiritual gift. Because the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to help you have the gift of mercy and you're going to be a merciful person. I'm going to have this person be the prophet. And you know what? The mercy and the prophet, they're going to clash heads sometimes. But they're both absolutely necessary within the body of Christ. I'm going to have the servant and I'm going to have the administrator. And they're going to clash heads sometimes because the person with the gift of administration is saying, hey, we need to do this and we need to do this and let's organize this. And the servant is saying, well, why don't you do it? I'm over here busy working all the time and you just keep telling other people what to do. There's a diversity that comes along there, but that is intentional. It is the Holy Spirit's doing as he puts the different gifts within the body, not to create conflict or tension, but to complement each other. So that the unity of the body can still be achieved. So that that body can still accomplish what God has called it to do. And so, yes, there is unity. But there is also diversity within the body. We can take time to read through the text. But I think that you will spend some time on your own, hopefully this week, looking at that here in 1 Corinthians 12. And saying, okay, well, what is my role? And so let's ask ourselves that question. What is my spiritual gift? How is it that God has equipped me, the Holy Spirit has equipped me, how has He equipped me to serve in this body? How has He equipped me to be a part of what He is doing here in this local church? That's a great question, and it's a question that each of us should be able to answer. Because we're told here that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And as we get to chapter 14, we'll find the purpose of those gifts. But that the Holy Spirit gives each of us different spiritual gifts for a purpose. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Do you know what God would have you to do in this body? We have to be aware of what He has done. A healthy church will not only be unified, but it will also be diversified. And we will see that throughout the body. A third mark of a healthy and growing church, we're going to jump over to chapter 14, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to just give you some verse references, and as I say the number of the verse, just scan over that verse and see if you can pick out the key word that is repeated in these different verses. Look at verse 3, and then at verse 4, and then at verse 5. See if you can pick out a key word that is in there. Now go to verse 12. You'll find that same word. And in verse 17. And in verse 26. What is that key word that's going to help tell us what the third mark or characteristic of a healthy church family is. Edify, or edification. It's a word that very simply means a building. In fact, it's the same word. It's a feminine in the Greek, and it's used either as a noun or a verb in these different verses. As a noun, it's the same word that was used of the temple, a building. As a verb, it is to build or to construct. It's an edification. So this word edify tells us something about the church. It tells us something that will help us see if we have a healthy church family. A healthy church family must have a growing ministry. What is edification? It is a building up. It is a continuing to add to and to grow. And how are we doing that? We are doing that in ministry. Edify is to build up. The unified goal is achieved through the diversity of gifts, but only as they are used to edify the body. Again, if we were taking a time to do a whole study of the text here on spiritual gifts, we'll find that a lot is said about how the Holy Spirit operates with the spiritual gifts. But you'll see in every one of these verses, it's toward the purpose of edification. So the Holy Spirit, as we saw, gives different gifts within the body. The whole body's not an eye. The whole body's not a hand. The whole body's not a foot. It's a body that is put together of all different pieces. Some pieces seem to be very important. Some pieces seem to be less important, but they're all very important. And they really have to work together. And so there shouldn't be any division in the body. It should be unified, even though it's diverse. But what is the purpose of that body doing all these things? Why did the Holy Spirit do this? It's for the purpose of edification. It's for the purpose of you and I helping each other to grow. And what are we growing into? We've already talked about it. We're growing into Christ's likeness. A healthy church will be full of members who are encouraging and building each other up in their relationship with the Lord. One of the things I love about the life groups is that the life groups are giving us opportunity to interact and to be edified and to build each other up. You know, it's great on Sunday morning to hear God's word preached and to be edified by God's word from the pastor and from the pulpit. But did you understand that we also have a responsibility? You might never stand up here and preach a day in your life. You might never even stand up here and share a testimony, but you have the same responsibility of edifying the body of Christ that Pastor Dan has. As a member of this church, God has put you here for the purpose of edification. He has gifted you with a spiritual gift for the purpose of edification. Are you doing that? Are you a part of the body that is a growing part in ministry? I love it that our life groups give us that opportunity to interact and to connect more. And I love the testimonies that some of you have shared about what God's done in your life through those life groups. Because we ought to be edifying each other, building each other up. So my question by application, are you using your spiritual gifts? How are you serving in the body of Christ? That's what growing in ministry is all about. This isn't something that is your goal. It's not my goal. It's not the deacon's goal. It's not Pastor Dan's goal or the pastoral staff or, as many people would say, the office personnel, because they're the ones that really run the church, right? It's not any of our individual goals that we have said, hey, this is what we think we should do. Let's give everybody a gift and get everybody together to use that gift. This is something that God has done. The Holy Spirit has done and said, I am going to put a body of believers here in Midland, Michigan. And this body of believers is going to be a family. They're going to be unified. And yeah, there's going to be differences there. Sometimes it'll be differences of opinion. Sometimes it'll be differences of how we would go about doing things. Differences of how we might spend our money. Differences in the strategic planning of what we should or shouldn't do or what should be a focus or an emphasis. There can be differences. But there is a unity along with that diversity. And it's not a division, it's a diversity. And what is the purpose of that? It is all toward a growing ministry, a healthy thriving family of believers that love each other, that build each other up, that understand what God is doing in our lives individually, and then taking what He is doing in us and turning around and using that to grow this ministry, to grow this family. And I'm not just talking numbers. I'm talking depth of relationship. I'm talking growth in Christ's likeness. That my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, my family members, are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, how are we doing as a healthy church family? We have to answer that question for each of ourselves first. How are you doing in unity? Are you unified with your brothers and sisters here in this church? Or do you find yourself having division? Boy, I really don't like it how they did this. And I don't appreciate it how she said that. And I don't... Are you critical? Are you divisive? Are you experiencing division? If so, that's not healthy. That's not the way God intended. Are you understanding the differences that God has placed within this body for how we operate? Are you understanding that those differences are good and that God made us to be different, but it's all for the purpose of unification so that we can offset one person's weakness with another person's strength? That as a church family, we are diverse and working together, but we have to understand how the Holy Spirit has directly placed us with those diversities. What is your spiritual gift? And then finally, how are you using your gift to edify this body? As you answer those questions for yourselves as individuals, then I hope that you can step back as well and saying, okay, now how are we doing as a church? And if you would say, you know, I think in the area of unity, I think there's a struggle in this area because I know these two people and they don't talk to each other. Or I know this person and they've been really offended by that other person. Then what should we do? How would we handle that if we are truly understanding our purpose as a family? If I'm aware of that and I understand that I have a spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit has given me for the purpose of edification, then what should I do if unity is not occurring? I should go to those who are experiencing division and I should say, hey, can we get together and talk about this? Can we get this resolved? We need to have unity in our body. Maybe you say, well, how's our church doing with the diversity? I don't think our church is very diverse. I think our church is just too much all one way. Well, is that your opinion? You need to talk about it. You need to find out what are the different gifts that are going on. It's been a few years ago, Pastor David preached a whole series on the spiritual gifts. Every church member ought to know what their spiritual gifts are. And then I would challenge you even further. Not just know what your gift is, but are you using your gift in ministry here? You know, maybe your gift is the gift of administration, but you find yourself serving in the nursery and saying, well, I'm faithfully serving in this church. Guess what? You're not really putting your gift to good use. We do need nursery workers. Please, don't take me the wrong way on that. Nursery workers are very, very important. But if you've been given the gift of administration, then you ought to be plugged in somewhere else, not just to the nursery. Are you using your gift? And are you seeing others using their gifts in the appropriate way? And are you edifying one another? Who have you been building up? Who have you helped to grow into Christ-likeness? If we are doing those things as a church, I can tell you that then we will have a healthy church family. Three characteristics from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about a healthy church family. I would also like to throw this out that our chapter 13 is a really important chapter in all of this. There's a reason that it's right there in the middle of this discussion on spiritual gifts, because chapter 13 helps us to understand that even when we're looking for unity, and even when we recognize diversity, and even when we're trying to edify and build each other up, if we don't have love, it's all going to fall to pieces. It's all going to fall by the wayside. And that's why I say we ought to have this as a church family. And that's why this is church family night. Do you love your family? I certainly hope so. Why is it that our family members are the ones that we go to when we have that really exciting announcement to make? Why is it that our family members are the ones that we go to when we know that there's something really heavy we have to share with them? It's because we know that they love us. And they're going to rejoice with us, or they're going to cry with us, but we know that there's love. And that's what bonds a church together. That's what bonds a family together. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, an incredibly important part of a healthy church family. Well, that's my prayer for us, that as Calvary Baptist Church, we are not just a group of people that meet together and read the Bible, which is a great thing to do. We're not just a group of people that get together and talk about impacting our community, which is a great thing to do. But that we are also a group of people who get together and enjoy being together as a family. That we love each other, that we build each other up, that we spend time with each other, because that's what a family does. Would you close in prayer with me here? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that you give us your word to teach us these very important instructions about what a healthy church family will look like, what a healthy body will look like, that there will be unity because we are all striving toward the same goal of Christ-likeness. It's something that you are working in our lives individually, but also corporately to accomplish. Lord, I thank you as well that you do give different gifts. And even as tonight I look across the sanctuary here, I see people with so many different gifts and so many strengths in different areas. And I know that those family members of this church are not here by accident, but that they're here placed by you for a specific purpose in this church family. And I thank you for that, that we have diversity. And Lord, I thank you as well that we can have growing ministry, edifying each other, encouraging each other, helping each other to be built up in the faith and to be built and encouraged in our Christ-likeness. Lord, help us to put into practice and use the things that you have taught us, the gifts that you have given us, to push us toward Christ-likeness, and that we truly would be able to say that Calvary Baptist Church is not just a church, but that we are a church family, because we are all united by our love for you and our love for one another. Lord, we pray that you would bless us as we go into this week. May this be a week that we can be a testimony for you in our community. May this be a week that we can help each other to grow spiritually. May this be a week that we ourselves can be edified and built toward Christ-likeness. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.